Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
So, no one is more surprised than me. I'll tell you what I mean by that. Actually, before we get started, let's pray. Lord God, we come before you, and we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your sovereign hand. We give you thanks for your leading. We give you thanks for your wisdom. We give you thanks for your timing. We give you thanks for you working in thousands and thousands of ways, many of which we are completely oblivious to. And we're thankful for the times that you allow us to see how things are joined together. The light you give us, the guidance you give us, the direction you give us. And we pray now that you would continue to do so. And as we look at your word this morning, and as we look back over the last few months, and as we look forward to the time to come, we pray that your hand would be evident, it would be clear, and we pray that you would do this for your glory and your glory alone. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 27. If you received a announcement in the mail about there was a candidate, Psalm 27:14 was in there, and I will be referencing that a couple of times in the next few moments, but I want us to look at Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14 to start. David writes, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." Now, Let's think back, all right? Around 2 years ago, a little less than 2 years ago, I sat on a stool like this in a very similar location on this stage, and many of you heard from me for the very first time. I was being called as the connecting and serving pastor here at East Haven. And I will admit to you freely and openly that this day was the farthest thing from my mind. That not entered into my thinking. But I interviewed and got the position, and everyone was so loving and so welcoming. And so for the last nearly 2 years, I've served here as a connecting and serving pastor. Well, and a lot of things have happened since then. Pastor Matt took a position there in Tupelo as the senior pastor there. TJ Earl went back to Knoxville, and more and more responsibilities sort of shuffled around in the staff, and I ended up doing a lot of the preaching and enjoyed it. But still, this day was far from my mind. Now, I want us to look in these two verses, and I want to relate these two verses to what brought me to this point here today, and what has brought all of us here to this point today, and what God has done over the last few months, because I know some of you are wondering. So, first of all, I just want us to look here in verse 13, and I want us to think about the idea of looking ahead, and I want us to look at these two verses, and I want us to look at some of the things that we had to have as a church and also as individuals, and I had to have as an individual over the last few months, over the last 18 months or so, and also the things that we need as we look ahead. So as we look ahead, both from looking back, looking ahead to this moment, and also looking ahead from this moment on, I want us to look at a few things that these verses teach us. The first thing is we have to have trust. Look at verse 13 again. David writes, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." That word believe, it's sometimes in different translations translated as "I have confidence in this." It's a word that means from the right hand, a position of authority, a position of power. It's a word. It doesn't just mean believe intellectually. It means to trust, to have assurance, to have confidence in something. And he says, I believe that I shall look upon. That is, his faith will one day become sight. What he is hoping for will one day become a reality. I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That is, good things are going to happen right here, right now. Now, it is true that the best is yet to come in the sense of what we wait on whenever we are with God in heaven. That's an absolute truth. So the absolute best is yet to come. But David says, I believe, I have confidence in, I trust that I will look upon some good things here in the land of the living. Now, if you look back over the last few months, we as a church have had to exercise a lot of trust because we had to trust that God knew exactly what God was doing. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? When you can't see what's going on, and you have to trust that he knows what he's doing. And I'll just tell you, as for me, there was a time toward the end of last summer that it went through my mind, maybe I should put my resume in. And many of you said, you should put your resume in. Many of you told me weekly. thank you for the encouragement. I appreciate it. You should do this. That's what you should do. You should do this. You should do this. You should do this. And the more I thought about it, the more I just sensed, no, I don't think so. And I had to trust what was going on. And I'll be honest with you. I had a lot of people saying you should do this. Many voices were saying that. But then there was one other voice. There was one voice saying, no. And that was God. And so it really reached a point that I had to say, I have to listen to what this one voice is telling me, or I have to listen to what all these other voices are saying. Not that any of you meant ill, not that any of you were doing it for the wrong reason, but God said no at that time. So here's, and then I heard another thing from God. I kept hearing no, and I kept hearing not yet. So I'm thinking, no, not yet. What does that mean? No, not yet. Well, one is no, and the other one is not yet. Those are no, not yet. I guess I put them together, but no, not yet. God, what do you mean by this? So here's what I assumed. Many of you didn't know this. What I assumed was he was saying no to East Haven and not yet for senior pastor. That was my assumption. I didn't hear God say that. I just made the assumption. No, no to here, and not yet as senior pastor. Okay. So, some of you didn't know this, but I started putting out some resumes and just asking God, God, do what you will. Do what you want to do. And then, strangely, I had a couple of churches contact me. I wasn't looking for a senior pastor. I had a couple of churches contact me. And just being very transparent here, they contact me and they said, we'd like to talk to you in different states. We'd like to talk to you about maybe talking to us about being our senior pastor. And immediately in both cases, I sense God say, no. And I tell them, no. Well, why not? No. God said no. So now I'm in a now I'm in one of those positions where I'm like, okay, God, no, no, not yet. No, I don't understand. So then it was just a matter of, well, just wait and trust. Just wait and trust me. Trust. Trust that you'll see the goodness in the land of living. That's hard, isn't it? And so that's what I had to do. I just trusted. Now, I'll just tell you, and I've told some of you this, when probably last September, I was about 98.9, that's a really specific number, 98.9% certain I'd be a senior pastor somewhere someday. But there was that 1.1% that was just sort of hanging out there. But then over the last year or so of preaching almost every Sunday, I started realizing I really love this. And I really love you. And I really love what God is doing. And so I just kept waiting and just being still before God and asking and seeing what he was doing. And I realized looking back that now God was doing many, many things over the last few months, but I realized one of the things he was doing was clarifying my call. I was able to sit down with the search committee and tell them, here's what I know that I did not know a year ago. I know that God is calling me to be a senior pastor somewhere. And if it's not here, it will be somewhere eventually. I just don't know. But it was a matter of just trusting that God knew what God was doing. And I also want you to know that through the whole thing, this has been such a point of prayer for everybody involved. And it has been prayed over, prayed over. In fact, when I first sensed God prompting me, saying now, and now I've been hearing no, not yet, no, no, and now I hear now. And I was like, now? Did you mean no? Because it's really close. Just add a W. Now or no? I don't understand. Now? Now. Now, like right now. Okay, now. So I walked into Tim Cunningham's class. He was the only one up there one Sunday. I walked in and I said, hey, Tim, you guys still taking resumes? Yes. Great, let's have lunch. And then I just walked out. left him hanging, as I'm wont to do. But anyway, so we had lunch and we talked, and he said, What are you expecting? What are you expecting? Why did you want to meet? I said, I sense God may be leading in this direction, but I'm not sure. So here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to tell anybody about this. I want you to go away for a week and me to go away for a week, and I want us to pray about this. And if there's any sort of red flag at all, any indication, any doubt, anything at all that says, maybe not, then I want us to sit back down, and if you or I or both of us have that one little inkling of like, I don't think we should do this, then we don't do it, we call it off, and nobody's the wiser, and nobody knows, and I'll keep doing what I've been doing, and God's going to send somebody else. So we did. We went away, and we prayed for a week. That's what we did. We sat back down after a week or so, and he said, I'm just getting, if God is leading, that's what you should do. I said, yeah, that's what I'm getting too. He said, well, can I tell the committee? I said, yes, but tell them I don't want to talk to them for a week. Tell them to go and pray about it. And if they pray about it, and if one of them comes back and says, that's a bad idea, then we do the same thing. We call it all off. We don't discuss it anymore. Nobody's the wiser. No disruption. No nothing. Well, they pray. And then we met. And I'm not giving anything away by saying this. The first meeting, the very first thing I said was this. Do I know beyond a shadow of doubt that I am called to be the pastor of East Haven? At this point in time, no. I do not know that. But you do not know that either. So none of us know that, yes or no. But this is what we're here to try to determine, whether or not God may be leading in that direction. And if any point in time in this process, if any one of us has any sort of doubt whatsoever, we call the whole thing off and that's it. And we just keep moving on, and that's fine. Praise God, he closes a door, and that means he's going to lead me to the position that he wants me to have, and he's going to lead the right person here. That's what we want. And so God led and kept leading, and we just kept approaching him with an open hand. And just kept approaching him with an open hand and trusting that he was going to lead. And now we find ourselves here today. So there's trust whenever we're looking at whatever God wants ahead, or when we look ahead to what God wants, there's an element of trust. There's also the element of courage. Look at verse 14. Wait for the Lord. We'll come back to that phrase. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Be strong and let your heart take courage. It's interesting to me that those two words, be strong and take courage, they're the exact same words in the Hebrew that are in Joshua chapter 1, starting with verse 5. Joshua is about to enter into the promised land. And God says to him, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Same two words. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If anyone tells you that following the will of God is never frightening, then they have never tried to follow the will of God. The will of God can be a frightening place at times because there's so much uncertainty that goes on. And here in Psalm 27, David is facing some day of trouble, and that's it in context, but in a broader general sense, David is saying, be strong and let your heart take courage. Be strong and courageous, just like God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. There have been times over the last few months that the committee, and I, the staff, you as a church, have had to exercise some courage and trust. Go back to the trust, because the courage comes from the trust that we have in God, that we have had to have courage about what God is doing in the future and what God is doing in the now. Some of you right now in your personal lives, you feel so fearful about what is going on. I'm not talking about today necessarily. I'm talking about something going on in your life. You're just racked with that fear. And God may be telling you through His Word, be strong and courageous. Just trust in me. Trust that I know what I'm doing. Because it's a very fearful place whenever we reach a point and everything just seems dark and everything seems uncertain and we don't know what lies ahead. I'll be honest with you, over the last few months, I have faced some kind of spiritual battles. Getting ready to preach sometimes, it is like Satan has tried to throw every distraction and distortion and try just to destroy God's word, and it's been remarkable to see and just to see God work and God give me clarity of mind or God just kind of eliminate those distractions and bring me back to what He wanted me to say. And some of you don't know, but there are Sunday mornings I would sit down here on the front row getting ready to preach, and I'm saying, God, Satan is doing everything that he can, or he has done everything he can over the last few days to try to get me from preaching what you want me to preach. And those have been my prayers sometimes. When we had the marriage series last summer, I'm just going to admit, God really helped me through that, because Satan was fighting that tooth and nail, because I knew that it was something that our church needed, and it was something that God wanted to use, because God wanted to mend marriages and God wanted to strengthen marriages, and Satan did not want that. And so there's been the need for courage, and there's going to be the need for courage moving forward, because sometimes it's hard to know what to do. But we have to look to God, and we have to look to our leaders as the people who are leading us in those places. One of my favorite stories about leadership, and it's probably most certainly legend and not fact, but nevertheless, it's a good metaphor nonetheless. It's a story of George Patton. The story is, the legend goes, that there were a couple of engineers one night poring over a map in the engineering tent, trying to decide where they were going to ford the river the next day. And as they were looking at the measurements and as they were looking over the maps and drawing lines and looking at possible points to enter the river and possible points to exit the river and debating this among themselves, the story goes that Patton walks into the engineering tent, strides over to the big table where the map is, puts his finger down on the map, and he says, "We cross there in the morning," and starts to walk out. And one of the engineers said, "With all due respect, sir, we don't know how deep the water is there." And the story goes that Patton pointed down to a water line on his pants and said, "It's that deep. We cross there tomorrow." He had waded across in the dark and found a place that his men would be able to ford the river. That's what we have to trust. We have to trust that our God is the God who has gone before. And when our God says this, here, now, we say, okay, because He knows. Because He's gone before us. And that enables us to take great courage in what God has ahead, because we know that our God is the God who goes before. So we need trust. We've had to exercise trust. We've had to exercise this courage that we've had to have, and we will need courage in the days to come. And then finally, if we look back at verse 14, there's expectation. It says, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. So it's emphasized. Wait for the Lord. There's expectation there. We had a meeting with the search committee, the staff, and I did. And it was our last meeting together. And as we sat there, Tim Cunningham, at the end of the meeting, said, there's a verse that just keeps coming to mind, and it's been coming to mind here lately. And it's Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be strong and of good courage. Wait on the Lord. Well, I put my head down on the table in the room, because nobody knew, but over the last 5 years, that passage has been underlined in my Bible with a date up next to it. And for 5 years now, God has brought me back numerous times to that one passage, to Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. When I would get panicked, he would bring me to Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Whenever I would get fractious, God would bring me to 27:14. When I would get fearful, God would bring me to Psalm 27:14. Whenever I was facing uncertainty, God would bring me to Psalm 27:14. And now here is the chairman of our search committee saying, God's just been bringing this verse to mind. That's why the verse was on that mail out that you received. Wait on the Lord. Be strong and of good courage. Wait on the Lord. We wait with expectation. We wait because we expect God to do something. If you weren't expecting God to do something, you really wouldn't need to wait on God. It wouldn't say, wait on the Lord. It'd say, go do your thing. Don't worry about it. But we wait on the Lord. Why? Because we expect something to happen. That requires patience. It required patience on your part. It required patience on the part of the search committee. It required patience on my part. Listen, I would not have been fully ready last year if I had put that resume in. The church would not have been fully ready. The committee would not have been fully ready. All the things behind the scenes that we don't even know about would not have been fully ready. The right thing at the wrong time is still the wrong thing. And so we had to wait on God. And that's so hard sometimes, because you think, oh, I just know it's just right there. But you wait and you wait and you wait. Now, something I share with the committee and I've shared with the staff, and I'd like to share with you as well. Here's what I believe. So far as the vision, and I'm giving you a very brief version, but so far as the vision for East Haven is concerned, I think the community is waiting on something. I think our area is waiting on something. And the thing that God has kept bringing to my mind over and over and over again is the concept of the North Star. You ever see the North Star? Polaris. It's the pole star. Seems like all the other stars rotate around that star. Among the ancient people, they referred to it in Latin as the Stella Maris, the star of the sea, because sailors would use it to navigate. Interestingly enough, not only the ancient sailors, but I was reading recently that our modern nuclear submarines, periodically, I mean, we're talking a submarine that has all sorts of amenities and supplies and a power source that will last for a very long period of time, they must periodically resurface to recalibrate their instruments to the North Star. Imagine that. Some of the most technologically advanced equipment that we have. And periodically, because the way the magnetic fields of the earth pull at the calibration of these instruments, a nuclear sub has to surface every now and then to recalibrate. To what? To one of God's creations. I believe that is what God wants East Haven to become. I believe God wants East Haven to become that standard. He wants East Haven to become that pole star, that north star, that navigational aid, where people know God's word is taught there, God is worshiped there, God is present there, God is served there, God is loved there, and the people reflect that truth. I believe that's what God wants us to be. I believe He wants us to be that North Star. I believe He wants us to be that waypoint that when everything else seems to be changing, everything else seems to be in chaos, and everything else seems to be tending toward disorder, there's that bright beacon there that can be counted on. There's that place where people can come home. There's that place where the lost can find salvation. There's the place where the prodigals can receive a welcome. And it's a place where the faithful can grow in their faith. Last week, I was up in Tennessee fishing. I was fishing. Okay, some of you thought I was up there interviewing somewhere. Far from it. I was fishing. And the day of the eclipse, a buddy of mine and I were fishing in a river, and we had picked this place because it was under the umbrella of totality. It was going to be a complete and total eclipse at that point. And so we joined about 50 or 60 other people in a big grassy field out next to this river after we fished for a while, and we gathered out there, and I had received an email from a friend of mine right before the eclipse. And the email just mentioned, you know, we need to guard ourselves against spiritual eclipse. I thought, that's good. That's really good. And I know it didn't look the same down here. I've talked to some of you, and you said, you know, it was okay, but, you know, under the umbrella of totality, it was weird, okay? It was strange. And as everything kind of turned a weird silvery gray color, and you could literally feel the temperature start to plummet, 6 to 7 degree difference, and the cicadas all started buzzing, and security lights came on all over the area, and that stillness of night that you feel when you go out into the night and there's just that calm stillness, it descended upon the area at 2:30, and it was just that weird nighttime calm. And then as the moon slipped over the face of the sun, and all you could see was this bright silvery wispy corona shining out around the moon, the stars came out. I say came out. They were there. But you couldn't see them, the light of the sun. But suddenly you could see them. It's 2:30 in the afternoon, and you're looking up in the sky at stars. And everybody just stood there. There were people crying. There were people laughing. There was a lot of oohs and ahs. And to my knowledge, the vast majority of those people standing there probably were not Christian, but yet here's God putting on this grand cosmic show. And I'm just thinking, wow, God, you're so awesome. But I started thinking, it was only in that time of darkness that those stars got really, really clear. You know, we live in a dark time. If you don't believe me, click on the news. Watch it for just a little bit. We live in a hard time of dark, a dark time, spiritual darkness. That's when the stars are much more clearly seen in those times of darkness. Now, we long for the light. It was great when the sun came back out. And we long for that. And we want Christ to come back and set everything right. But in the meantime, we do live in darkness. And as we live in darkness, we need to be that light. We need to be that city on a hill that Christ talks about. We need to be that light that's not hidden under a basket. We need to be that North Star for a world that is in desperate, desperate need of light. So God calls us to trust Him. God calls us to have courage. God calls us to be expectant of what He wants to do. This is what brought me to this point today. This is why I'm sitting here. This is what brought us all to this point today in the life of the church. And now, I'm asking you to take that next step together. September the 4th, 2016, last year, I came across a sermon. It was one of my own sermons. I didn't come across it then, but I preached it then. And as I was driving back from the mountains, I thought, God just kept impressing upon me just little memories of the sermon. And some of you have come to me before, a confession, pastoral confession. Some of you have come to me before and you've said, "Remember that sermon that you preached on so-and-so?" No, I don't. Glad you do, but there's been a lot of them. Or remember that point you made a few months ago? No, I probably don't. I can look it up, but I probably don't remember that point. Despite what some people say, pastors do not remember every single point that we've made, okay? But God kept bringing to mind this particular sermon. I did not remember when I preached it. I didn't know. He just kept bringing it to mind. And so I started looking around and I was like, where is it? And I could not find it anywhere. I don't even know. I don't even remember the name of the sermon. I don't even remember what went on. I don't even know. Well, just the other day, I pulled some folders out of that bag that I carry around. Some of you have seen me carry that knapsack around. And I pulled some folders out and I was just drawn to the very top one. And I had separated the folders into three stacks. And there was one stack and I was just really, it was like, you need to open this folder. Nondescript folder, they all look the same. But I opened this folder and it was just like, you need to flip over to the back of the folder. And so I flip over and there is a page of notes that I had written out in preparation for that sermon. I'm like, this is the sermon. I was so excited. I was so excited to see my own sermon. And not because it was necessarily a great sermon, but then I looked and I saw the date on it. It was September 4th, 2016. It was like almost, well, next week, a year. And the title of the sermon was The Next Step. And it was about Abraham. Some of you, do you remember the sermon? Some of you did. Okay. I didn't. But anyway. The Next Step. God's call to obedience will do certain things. It will challenge your sense of security. That's when God called Abraham out of his country, from his land, from his family, from his tribe, to a land that I will show you. God's next step, God's call to obedience, will challenge your sense of security. It will stretch your ability to trust. When Abraham was told that I'm going to provide for you, and God made a covenant with him, and God did not allow Abraham to be a part of the covenant. It was a unilateral covenant that God made with Abraham. So it will challenge your sense of security. It will stretch your ability to trust. It will amplify your impatience. God had promised a son. Sarah got ahead of God, Sarah and Abraham, and they tried to take matters into their own hands to have a son by someone else, by Hagar, her maidservant, that ended in disaster. God did not say that. They were unwilling to wait. Remember, wait on the Lord. And by the way, I found in my notes that I use Psalm 27:14 there too.
It will amplify your impatience, and then finally, it will reveal your willingness to surrender. And Abraham had to take Isaac up Mount Moriah and be willing to sacrifice Isaac because God said so. Abraham did in all of these cases, with the exception of disobeying God, but in all these other cases, Abraham did what God told him to do. And by doing what God told him to do, anything beyond that was beyond Abraham. That was in God's hands. It's the same true for us. Same thing's true. It was true a year ago. It was true in Abraham's time. It's true today. We are to do what God has called us to do, has led us to do. And we're to be obedient to Him. And what about everything that's beyond that, that's beyond us? Well, that's God's. God's going to do what God's going to do. We just need to be in the place where we can receive the blessings that come because of the obedience to His truth. Let's pray. Lord God, we are thankful for all that you've given, all that you've done, for your leading, for your guidance. We're thankful for the way that you speak from your word. We're thankful for the way that you move. God, we're amazed at how you orchestrate things, at how you fit pieces together, how you with a prompting, with your scripture, by your spirit, move us toward the place you have us to be. Father, I'm thankful for East Haven. I'm thankful for the people here, their family, Father. And as we've had this, I wouldn't even call it a sermon, this family meeting this morning, Father, we pray that you do your will in the days to come. Father, that none of us would be in the way. I don't want to be in the way. None of us want to be in the way of what you want to do. Keep our hearts clean, Father. Bring us to immediate conviction whenever we're in sin. Draw us close to you. Father, give us a more intimate relationship with you so that we can hear you more clearly. Father, we have over the last few months and few years, I know there are many people here, and over the last few months that I've been here, Father, we have sown many seeds. We've planted a lot of seeds, planted them in faith and trusting you're going to bring a harvest. We know that those seeds don't sprout instantly. They don't yield a harvest seconds from the point of planting. But Father, it takes time, it takes watering, it takes tending. But in your time, Father, as we wait on you, you will bring things to pass that are far beyond our abilities to accomplish. Father, we believe that we will see your goodness in the land of the living, and I believe that we will see your goodness here at East Haven revealed. We will look upon it. You've already blessed us so much. Your goodness overwhelms us, but Father, I'm asking you to do more. Not for us. Not so anybody would look at us and say, ooh, wow, look at what's going on there. But the people would look and they would say, God is at work. Father, we ask that you would show yourself in power, in glory. And we ask that you would do that for your name's sake, for your reputation. Because you're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the Alpha, you're the Omega. So, Father, we give ourselves to you now and ask that you would go before us and that you would lead East Haven to exactly the place you would have her to be. And on that day, when you send your son back, Father, I pray that East Haven would have accomplished everything that you have set forth for her to accomplish for your glory during the time of her existence. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. It may seem strange, but if you have some sort of decision to make today, we want you to make that decision. If you came in here today and you said, I was just coming in today and I was just going to just see what church was about, and I haven't been in church in a while, or I've never been in church before, we'd love to tell you how you can know this God that we've been talking about. Because he wants to get glory out of your life, and he wants to know you in an intimate love relationship through his son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for all of our sins. And you may be here today and you may be saying, I need to join, or I need to pray. I want somebody to pray with me about something. Or maybe you just want to come to the altar and you just want to pray, you yourself or you as a family. You feel free to do whatever it is that God leads you to do during this time.